Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Tess. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
What are we taking a look at this week?
All right. So this week, I've got a fascinating novel of time, place, and identity. It's a debut novel from Angela Meyer, and it's called A Superior Spectre.
Oh, cool. Mm. Lots of alliteration there.
So first, we travel to the Scottish Highlands. It's the 1860s, and Lenora lives a quiet life, in love with the land and its creatures. She knows little of Edinburgh, only that it's where her mother died. Lenora's idyll is destined to end, though. Her father intends to remarry, and she's expected to consider her own future. But Lenora is unsure of what the world holds for her, and she's plagued by strange visions of lands unknown to her. Somewhere in our near future, Jeff is travelling to the Highlands to die. He believes that he should suffer, and he's accompanied only by a robot helper and an experimental device for transmitting his consciousness throughout history. Safely ensconced on an island, Jeff throws his mind into the past and discovers Lenora. He lives through her eyes and feels her pain, her triumphs. But Jeff also ignores advice not to overuse the device that allows him to do this, and he finds that he is bleeding into Lenora's consciousness and she into his. So the setup for A Superior Spectre, it's an interesting one. And it offers us this opportunity to explore the workings of the mind and poses questions about how we know who we are. What is the nature of identity? It also teases us with a strange, future imperfect world that we spend perhaps too little time in. Lenora's is by far the more compelling story here, or at least for me. Meyer beautifully evokes the grandeur of the Scottish Highlands and the industrialising world of Edinburgh in the 19th century. And in Lenora, we have this forthright, compelling character. She's torn between this desire for peace on her family's land and her thirst for knowledge in a world that's, you know, basically, if you think back to the 1860s, this is a world that's really only just opening up many opportunities for women. And the story does intersect with ideas of the first women to actually study at, I think it might have been the Edinburgh Surgical College. And Edinburgh Surgical College was actually a really famous centre of medicine in the 19th century. And then in Jeff, we have, we're constantly plagued by his doubt. So we've got this first-person POV, his insecurity and his guilt. He sentenced himself to this lonely death, accompanied only by these far-flung stories viewed through another person's eyes, and pursues this to the point of kind of a selfish indulgence. And so perhaps here we find the brilliance of A Superior Spectre. Jeff's seeking escape and his occupation with Lenora's story cannot help but invoke the experience of the reader, as they safely hide with a book in this other world. And while the reader can't literally occupy the mind of another, there is this power to shape and influence thought as a story works its influence. This is why we seek out reading. Like this is why we go for a book. We want to escape. We want to move away from our world. That's all Jeff wants to do. He wants to escape his guilt and these feelings of inadequacy. And I think that's what Angela Meyer is actually trying to do here, is challenge ideas of identity, but also challenge the reader with their own purpose in reading. A Superior Spectre asks important questions about responsibility, obligation, and empathy. How much do we owe others our time and consideration? And in taking another person's perspective, how much of them do we take on ourselves? You know, what does empathy do to you as an individual? I would argue it's a powerful and good thing, but it's something worth considering. So Jeff's intrusions into Lenora's mind initially frighten her with the prospect of madness. They also open up for her this potential for creativity. She starts to wonder what these visions are. What is it that she's seeing? Lenora walks through her world observing and considering others. She has a curious and inquisitive mind, so it seems like she's perfectly positioned to examine her own experience and make something of it. Jeff wants only distraction, though, at least at first. Through Lenora, he gains perspective and insight. And it's really fascinating. Like, he has moments where they discuss, really intimate moments. I might leave it. We didn't put a content warning on this, so I won't go in too much into detail. You can discover it in the book. But Jeff discovers really intimate moments that men are usually not privy to except by anecdote. And it changes the way he starts to think about his world, the women in his world and also Lenora. And look, if you've gotten the impression I don't like Jeff, you'd probably be right. But look, there's no obligation on an author to make all their characters likable. Far more important that they engage us. So we have a superior spectre, and in a superior spectre, we have this melding of history and period sort of drama. We have science fiction. We have dystopia. It's a hard mix to make work. But in a superior spectre, I think Angela Meyer has offered us this really thought-provoking work that's also this really enjoyable read.
It sounds really cool. And yeah, no, I don't want to be friends with Jeff, to be honest.
Well, I guess that's the great thing in the narrative is Jeff understands that. He has abandoned his world. And when I sort of talk about this dystopia and how we don't get enough of it, we get moments of there's technology here at work that is beyond our current technology. And we do get an introduction to that, but we don't dive deep into it. There is a passage where of the book where Jeff escapes from Melbourne to the Scottish Highlands, and we hear about how he has to cross the border. He has to remove a chip that is actually used for all humans, all people, to monitor sort of their day-to-day. I don't feel like that world was fleshed out enough for me. It sounded like a really interesting world, and like so many worlds that really engage us with their dystopia, it's only one step or two away from where we are at the moment. I think that's what makes it most believable. I mean, I'm a sucker for a fantasy far-flung world, but I also like a world that feels like I could be there next year. And Jeff appreciates your perspective on him as well. And he's like, I'm getting away from everyone. And also, it's also really fascinating to engage with his guilt because I think it's quite troubling. We all have to engage with guilt and ideas of things we're not proud of. I don't necessarily subscribe to Jeff's way of doing it, but just watching that process happen was another really interesting part of this book.
It sounds like there's a lot going on. It sounds really, really interesting. What are we taking a look at next week? Do we know?
Okay, yeah. So next week, I thought we could do some YA for a change. I actually feel a little bad this year. I haven't read nearly as much YA as I would like and as I would usually. So I am going to bring you Sydney author Kate Hendricks' The Finder.
Ooh, looking forward to it. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew.
See you then.